to the door, I guess. To leave me alone in this darkness again. Maybe I should be grateful, though. He hasn't touched me. Not like that. The door creaks as he pulls it closed. He's almost gone. Please just tell me if he's okay, I plead in a whisper. If he's alive? He stops, and I can just about make out the silhouette of his giant body through the blindfold. He's big, like Santiago, and just as strong. I wouldn't get past him if I tried. Would you have me believe you care? He asks. Is he... His approaching steps are rapid, then, and I scramble backward, my back hitting the damp stone wall just as his gloved hand closes around my throat. Dead, he says. And I'm not sure if it's a question or a statement of fact. My hands are on his forearm. But if he wanted to strangle me, if he wanted to break my neck, I'm sure it would take little effort. Like the snapping of the bones of dead mice beneath his shoes. Is he? I choke out. You should hope for your sake, not. Chapter 2. Ivy. I push the blindfold up to my forehead as soon as I hear the lock turn. My heart is racing. But at least he's bound my wrists in front of me. They were at my back at first. I draw my knees up onto the disgusting mattress and hug them, the thick rope tight on my already raw wrists. I shudder when a cold breeze comes through the tiny square of a window high up on the forest floor. I'm at least partially below ground. An outdoor cellar, from what I can make out, with stairs that lead up to a door. But at least I have that window. If you don't eat the food, the rats will come to have it. I glance up at the barred windows. Is that where they'll come from? I look around the square space, the corners too dark for me to see if there are any holes. I'm sure there are, though. On the floor, there are corpses of small animals. Most are rotted to the bone. The dress Mercedes chose for me is a ruin of dirt and tears. Looking at the tray set on the small table, I see a blanket folded beneath it. So I get to my feet and rush to it. I set the tray on the cot and unfold the blanket to wrap it around myself. It's rough, not a blanket at all. Something a mover would use to protect the furniture. Or maybe something a painter would lay down to protect the floors, but it will do. A small bowl of soup with a spoon sticking out of it, a piece of bread, and a glass of water are on the tray. I take a sip of water first, then set the glass down, figuring I should ration the water at least. I pick up the soup but realize why I didn't smell anything. It's cold. I didn't bother with the spoon, but bring the bowl to my lips and tilt it. I think it would be good if it were hot, but this isn't even lukewarm. I drink it anyway. I don't want to lure any rats or other animals, and I need to eat to keep up my strength. The bowl is small, and it's only half full, so I finish it quickly, set it down, and break off a piece of stale bread. I eat that too, but leave the rest for later and get up. Go up to the stairs. There are half a dozen. The cellar is built into the earth. I try the door even though I know it's locked. There's no way I have the strength to break down this steel monstrosity that must be at least a century old. I return to the small window and look up at it. The sun is fading, so it'll be pitch black soon. This will be my first night here, when I'm conscious. I wonder how long I was out. It's too high to reach, not that I'm going out that way. I take the bucket he'd left for me, I guess to use as a toilet, and turn it over to stand on it. I climb up and still have to stand on tiptoes to just barely